This is the Ninja Rob Podcast with Marco Perazzo and Tim Carpenter. The podcast for the true martial artist.
Action.
Here we are. Back. Tim, we'd like, I think the fans would like an update on your sense of smell and how COVID has been treating you.
COVID's been treating me pretty good. Can you see me? No,
I can't see you at all.
There I
am. Even worse.
It's gone, so I feel fine. I worked out twice this week. Maybe like 2 days ago, and then today I worked out. Still no sense of smell or taste. Like, I can taste sugar and salt in food, but I can't really taste what the food tastes like. So it's just like...
So if we were to blind you and give you two slices of chocolate cake, you wouldn't know if they were both chocolate, they were both vanilla. Could you tell if they were both the same?
No. Wait, no. I wouldn't. Could I tell if they were both the same? No. That is a confusing question. Two chocolate or two vanilla, could I tell if they were both the same? No, I could not differentiate between flavors of cake.
Not asking cake, you to
sugar in each cake.
Wasn't asking you to differentiate the flavor. Is that if it's the same thing, would you be able to know?
No. If I was blindfolded, this is a very odd way to ask this question. But
oh man.
I can't tell. So I had the only way I could tell it, like, I had some pineapple and some mango. The only way I could tell the difference was the texture. They both tasted sweet, but they both tasted like, that's it, just sugar.
Interesting. Now, have you noticed
it's interesting? It's a weird thing to experience when you know what something should taste like and it's just not there. It's probably the oddest part of this whole experience.
Right, because you're coming into looking at the mango and you're expecting that particular flavor, right?
Yeah, and I got like an amazing box of mango at Wegmans. It's like pre-cut mango. It's like, it's the perfect
How would you
mango,
know?
You know what I mean? I can tell just by the texture and the color and the feel of it. And the juiciness of it, that it's like a perfect mango and it's very sweet. I just can't taste the actual mango.
See, this is the beauty is you could buy the cheapest mango and you could still say the same thing.
No, because you can tell by the texture of the mango whether it's good or not.
But ultimately, it's the taste.
Yeah, but I can tell, like, I have two things of mango here. One is a shitty rock hard mango. The other one is a soft, juicy, sweet mango. So I can tell that one is good and one is bad.
You can tell that,
especially because when mango is ripe, the sugar content is much higher than when it's not ripe. So, like I said, I can taste it. There's sugar in it, so I can taste the sweetness of the mango. I just can't taste the mango flavor.
Can't taste the mango of the mango.
Right. So I've been eating, basically, I've just been eating ham sandwiches and fruit.
You're like seven.
Because I can get the saltiness from the ham. And then I've been eating some fruit and some yogurt.
What kind of bread?
I got this 647, like low carb bread. You ever see it?
No.
I'll send you a pic of it. It's pretty good.
Okay. So other than that, so when you did your workouts, what any kind of appreciable notice, you know, like after
I just feel I'm like kind of out of shape. Like I've been doing nothing but sitting around for 10 days. So it's like, you know, I got tired quick. I didn't feel great, but you know, it'll come back quick. I'm going back to training and teaching tomorrow. So.
And everybody knows that it's full bore as of tomorrow.
Yeah. I still have to send out, like, I mean, I told everybody we'd be opening back up today, tomorrow. So I just got to send out like some emails and some posts and stuff just to reassure everybody that we're opening and then back to business.
Did you have to get tested again or is it just the amount of time?
When I talked to the lady from the health department, she just said 10 days after your test, 10 days after your test, symptoms have improved. You're ready to go back to the normal activities.
and the taste of the sense of taste or smell, any improvement from when you first lost it?
Not really. I still can't taste anything. I can't tell if I am tasting it or not, if it's just like a memory. Like I drank like a grape Celsius drink.
A what?
I thought that I could taste. You ever have Celsius, these little like natural energy drinks?
Nah.
They're really good. But I had a grape flavored one and I couldn't tell if I was tasting it or if I was just remembering what grape tastes like. So
that's weird.
It gave me a little bit of hope, but then, like I said, I try to eat something tonight and there's just, you know, it's nothing.
What's up with your front door being unlocked and open? Is that what suburban life is?
That's the back door.
Oh, oof. Back door's always open, huh?
In this house, yes. my lovely wife is out in the sunroom.
How's she feeling?
She's doing out there. She's getting better. She's like a couple days behind me, so she still feels kind of weak and sick, but she's much better. She's not, you know.
Any loss of taste or smell for her?
No, she didn't really lose anything.
Well, that's good.
I'm pissed. Yeah.
JB lost his taste and smell as well.
Yeah. Most people that I know that have had this did.
And has it come back for them?
Well, the one guy I know that I had it before his came back. I haven't actually asked. The people that I'm talking to now, they're all like a day behind me, so they don't really have taste. They don't have it still.
Right. I'm sorry. I keep moving my head in the video because this is the first time, and I'm going to have to ask you, have I always had my head twisted or is this something new?
I don't know. What do you mean?
I look at like my twisted. My natural kind of, when I'm looking at myself, my head isn't like straight on and right. I'm trying to, okay, this is more neutral. Well, I'm forcing myself.
I'll tell you this. Whatever you normally do, I never noticed. But now that you're jerking and twisting your head all over the place, it looks very strange.
I feel like a G.I. Joe that I ripped the head off of and slammed it back on and trying to figure out what it looks like. But anyway.
I never notice what you're doing with your head until you start whipping it and jerking it around.
Hey-o! It's the old whip it and jerk it. All right. So do we have anything going on in the world of martial arts? So you know what? This would probably be a good time to discuss reopening of your school and what that's going to look like.
I think basically it's just going to look like it was when I closed down. One of the things that this really showed me was that it almost doesn't matter what precautions you have in place. Going into a place, if somebody's got it, like I had zero symptoms when I had it and I gave it to people, the person I got it from had zero symptoms. You know, there's really no way to, you can do everything. You can wear masks and social distance and do all that. But if somebody's got it and they're near you, you can get it.
Okay. And so, what's the plan moving forward, because you closed the school down for however many days you closed it down, but if say if a student catches it outside in the wild.
If they catch it outside in the wild?
Yeah. And they happen to have come back to class after they caught it.
Well, hopefully now it seems like a bunch of people at the gym have had it. So a good amount of people should be immune to it. But it's just the same thing that we were doing before. Like, I tell people, if you're sick, stay away. If, you know, if somebody contacts me and says, hey, I have COVID, you know, I might consider, just like send out an email saying that somebody at the gym had COVID. So pay attention to your symptoms. Maybe they shut down for a couple of days after the person was last in there. I don't know. I think, but if there's an outbreak at a gym, I think the best thing to do is just shut it down for 10 days and then get back to it.
Right. But you see how that can become like an eternal cycle of shutdown, open, shutdown, open, shutdown, open.
It would be, I mean, the only reason I'm we're really doing it is because everybody's scared of COVID because the news has been talking about it for a year.
Well, I understand, like, your current closure makes a lot of sense because you're sick, your wife is sick, right? Like, two of the main instructors. Yeah. So, like, you guys are a nexus point of passing it along to just about everybody. If it, you know, like, if there's anybody that comes in contact with every single student, it's you guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just curious to the thinking behind if a school should close if a student comes up with it.
I think you almost have to just out of a sense of precaution for the students right now. But after experiencing it and everybody I've been talking to that's experienced it, it's no different from a regular flu as far as like the outcome of it. From everybody I know that's had it. So everybody I'm sure knows somebody that died from it or whatever. Right. But
no, I don't know anybody that's died from it. So,
okay. Well, or you've heard stories of people die, like you've people all of a sudden die from it. Everybody's heard those stories. But if we hadn't heard about COVID in the news, this just would have been a flu that went through the gym, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like that's all that would have happened was like, oh, a bunch of people were out sick for, you know, a week or two. And then, you know, a bunch of people got sick and then we could all talk about it. Like the same thing happened last year before all this stuff happened.
Well, it reminds me of the times when like a school would get hit with a staff infection, right? Where it's like, oh, did you hear about so-and-so school? Like seven people caught staff.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if this was up to me, like we never would have closed. I was sick. I couldn't really get in there and teach. But the main reason I closed was because of the sort of public health implications.
The optics, like, as they say?
The optics of it, yeah. Like, so unless, you know, something drastic happens in the next couple of days and one of the students gets severely ill, I don't think anybody would have noticed if we hadn't all been scared into submission by the news.
Including yourself.
Yeah.
All right. So I've been taking this as a kind of example, what happened at your school. Cause like you said, you didn't catch COVID training. You caught it going to the podcast.
Right.
So, you know,
what a podcasting. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been just announcing the students saying, hey, no matter what we do, there's a high likelihood that somebody in here is going to get it at some point and that we're going to maybe, you know, depending on how bad it is or what's going on, have to close temporarily for 10-day quarantine or 2 weeks, whatever it happens to be. You know, crossing my fingers, hoping it doesn't happen. But you know what? If it does, I'm just letting people know. I don't want anybody to be surprised saying, hey, you know, I was like, hey, just be mindful. Make sure you're coming here. You're fully healthy. But also you understand as dangerous and as risky of a sport that we do, there's this new layer of, you know, quote unquote danger now. So,
yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't think anybody should be scared of it. Like if you get it, big deal, most likely you'll be fine. Everybody I know that's had it is fine. It's inconvenient because of all the, you know, like the public health department's going to call you and tell you, like, if you test positive, they're going to tell you that you have to stay in your house for 10 days, which is like, they wouldn't do that for, you know, anything else that you could spread to your friends.
Right.
So it just adds another level of sort of like scariness to it. But, I've been thinking about that a lot. Like how, if this had been any other year, if this was last year, it just would have been the flu that went through the gym, you know. We wouldn't have had to close for 10 days, or we wouldn't have to do, you know, contact tracing and speaking with the health department. It just would have been, you know, what happens almost every year everywhere.
Has anybody contacted you because of it saying, hey, Tim, I'm not comfortable coming back, or, you know?
Yeah, I've had a couple people have said that, you know, and it for plenty of people, it does make sense. Like they're saying, like, hey, I live with my parents. I don't want to, I would feel terrible if I brought something home to them, you know, that all makes sense. So it's understandable, but I've had a couple people have canceled, but just like two or three.
So those people that live with their parents, you should just give them like the classified ads and tell them to get their own apartment.
Yeah, but most people have just said that, like, I was like, hey, sorry about the inconvenience if anybody tested positive. And they all just basically said, you know, we understand the risk when we go in, you know.
Because everybody's, like, especially now, how long have we been in this pandemic? 10 months?
Yeah, it's, yeah, almost a year now.
Right. So we're all going into this eyes wide open.
Like, I like to call it the plandemic.
Oh, not the scamdemic?
Oh, it's not. It's the scamdemic, yeah.
But yeah, so like, maybe we're like, if you're walking into a gym, a jiu-jitsu school, a Muay Thai school, you're walking in eyes wide open, and you have to understand that there's, you know, no matter what precaution that you may take, masks, the social distancing aspect of it in a martial arts school is almost impossible.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be doing jiu-jitsu with social distancing.
No.
You know? You could do it. I mean, some schools are doing, you know, you're limited to a little pod of, you know, four or five people you can train with. But, you know, if one of those guys gets it outside of the gym, you know,
it's the same, thing.
They're going to give it to everyone in their pod.
Well, but also that pod, the issue is everybody walks through the same door. Everybody walks by the same desk. Right. So.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause like, when I would assume that I got it from Devin doing the podcast. But we never away from each other almost the entire time. But other than that, we were, you know, 6 feet away from each other almost the whole time. So it wasn't like I wasn't wrestling with Devin when I was there.
Right.
We were just talking. Although we were in a smaller room, you know.
And I'm probably not as well ventilated as it could be, but still, like, you're like,
yeah, so, 6 feet apart at least.
And these, I have a tough time believing that these schools that talk about battle pods and, you know, like, and all that other stuff are actually doing the things that they're claiming they're doing. I think they're saying they're doing certain things. And then when the doors are locked, they're just back to life as normal.
Yeah. For the most part, I think everybody that's doing all this stuff, and even wearing the mask, it's like they're doing what they got to do to stay open, you know?
Yeah. Because if they do another round of these kind of, I think the word is draconian style lockdowns, yeah. You know, any business that survived the first set of lockdowns is going to have a really tough time surviving a second set of lockdowns.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's like, you know, I know it's not just my gym where that people are getting infected. There's been an increase in a lot of cases recently. But I haven't heard about hospitals being overrun. So it seems like even though cases are increasing, people are a little bit, for whatever reason, people aren't dying at the same rate that they were.
Right.
At least we're not hearing about it.
No, it's definitely interesting. Hopefully, you know, the people that are getting it have healthy and robust immune systems, the ones that do catch it and are able to deal with it. So outside of the local, your local martial arts world, which is Hellfish, is there anything going on interesting?
Did you watch the UFC last night?
I did not, but I heard Paul Felder put on a hell of a show.
I would say Dos Anjos put on an even better show, but... you know, Felder did well.
But what was he coming on less than a week's notice?
I think it was like 3 days or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and took a 5-round fight and went the whole five, yeah. Right?
Yeah. He went, he had his moments, but he just got out grappled, out struck, out everything.
Now, do you think, given, as people like to call it, their camp, given a, you know, full proper 8 weeks to prepare for Dos Anjos, would it have been any different?
I mean, I don't think so. I think Dos Anjos is just a more well-rounded fighter than he is. So it was a great fight, and maybe it would have been a little bit more competitive, with more time, but it also could have been, you know, there might have been an advantage to Felder being having no pressure on him, like no.
Right, in Dos Anjos,
having a fresh body, not being through an 8 weeks of getting beat up and taken down, you know.
And but also for him, for Dos Anjos, you know, preparing 8 weeks for somebody else.
Yeah, he's preparing for a wrestler, and then he has to fight a guy that's basically a pure striker.
Yeah, so it's an interesting change in fight mentality when you're, you know, for your coaches.
Yeah. But I've always been impressed with Dos Anjos. I think he's one of the best.
Well, so I think if we could rate Paul Felder as a fighter, he's a good fighter, not a great fighter.
He's a very exciting fighter and a very dangerous fighter. Yeah, but he's not a, you know, I don't see him winning a title.
Right, because you would have seen him win some of these, you know, because he's been in some wars, he's been in some fights that kind of, you know, they go to distance and these knockdown dragouts, but he doesn't seem to win those, right? For whatever reason, the split decisions go to the other guy, or the close decisions go to the other guy, and those guys made of championship material seem to have a way to pull that fight out of their out of the hat or out of the fire or yeah, whatever.
There's that, but I think there's also just like a from a skill standpoint, you don't really see anybody that's just a pure striker or grappler, you know, winning titles, really, you know what I mean? With the exception of maybe Khabib, you know, who can punch, but he's not a striker. But like, you have a, you know, Felder, you always know what Felder's going to do. He's not really a threat to take you down, submit you in general. He's basically just going to kickbox with you. So I don't think it's possible to like be a champ in the sport anymore with that kind of skill set, you know?
Yeah. And I, you know, like I do think that, like you said, he is a extremely dangerous fighter. What would he have to do from a skill set standpoint to take that, as clearly as it is that high level striking for, say, you know, like a pure kickboxing standpoint, what would he have to do to become a great mixed martial artist? Because he's a good mixed martial artist that's got really good kickboxing.
Yeah, he actually went for a few takedowns yesterday in the fight. But I think the fact that, like, you don't, you know, if you're his opponent, you only have to worry about kickboxing. You don't have to worry about him taking you down and grinding out a decision or, you know, submitting you from any position. You have to prepare for a kickboxing match, basically. Or you get to prepare to just stop kickboxing, like with takedowns or
right. No, so what I'm saying is Paul Felder comes to you and says, "Hey Tim, I'm gonna hire you to be my greatness consultant." What would you tell him? This is what you need to achieve greatness in mixed martial arts.
I would probably tell him to retire.
He would achieve greatness by stopping.
Yeah. No, I would just say that he needs to be a threat for other things to happen other than to get punched in the face, you know, like he's got to mix in the threat of a takedown with his strikes. It would only help his striking if people were worried about him shooting a double leg and taking him down.
Now, you know? Did you watch Corey Anderson versus Melvin Manhoef last week?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Right. It's so terrible. In what sense?
Like Melvin Manhoef shouldn't be. Corey Anderson was a top 10 in the UFC, and he's fighting a guy that has zero ground skills and is like, you know, 40, 50 years old. Like, guy just doesn't belong in the cage with Manhoef doesn't belong in the cage with Corey Anderson.
Right. But what was interesting about, if you watch that fight from a strategy standpoint, right, was the level change feints the whole time, because you know everybody, even Manhoef, knows the way to beat him is to take him down, and he can never set his feet, and which it looked like it helped Corey strike more easily, and then on top of that be able to get his takedowns whenever he basically wanted them.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that made GSP so good was that you knew he was going to at some point shoot a double leg, but the threat of him taking you down and beating you up allowed him to beat people up on the feet or strike with people that, you know, might have been, you know, technically they might have been better kickboxers than him, but he was still able to land shots on him just because they had to worry so much about his takedowns. I think adding like a dimension like that to a guy like Felder, who's already such a good and dangerous striker, like the threat of a takedown from him would just make him even more dangerous.
Now, what approach would you advise for him, right? Say, hey, Paul, I know you're paying me all this money to teach you how to become great, but do you say we need to take a year off? And
no, I would actually just incorporate the takedowns into his striking game. You know, I wouldn't send him to work on like, you know, finishing like single legs and stuff like that, like with a wrestling camp. I would have him work on like sort of blast doubles off of his striking combinations or stuff like that. More like explosive takedowns hit based off timing rather than like
grapple boxing, you know, is Danaher calls it,
right, or whatever. Like rather than like prolonged like grappling situations like up against the fence and stuff like that. I think that would be kind of a waste of time for him. But I think with a guy like him and his striking with the right timed takedowns, I think he could nail a lot of people with it.
I'm laughing because like the feed slowed down and then it sped up. So I'm wondering if it'll record like that. All right. So not to take time off. It's his coaches that need to force this upon him then. Say, hey, you know, every sparring round, if you're not shooting five doubles, you got to give me 100 burpees at the end of the round.
Yeah, I mean, whatever the guy, you know, I don't know what it takes to motivate Paul Felder, but I don't think it's burpees. I think he seems like the kind of guy you could just tell him what to do and he'll probably work on it for you.
I mean, he's trained with he trains with some good people. So what, you don't think it anybody's telling him he needs to do more takedowns? Right. So he trains out in Wisconsin, right? What's that place? Rufus Sport, or at least he did.
Maybe they did because he, like I said, he shot for two takedowns yesterday. It was very surprising. I think he might even got one of them at one point, but at one point it just ended up, he shot on DeSantis and got him down, but DeSantis just popped up, took his back, you know? So in that case, it wasn't a good idea against a high level jiu-jitsu guy to take him down. But, you know, like in a match against like Edson Barboza or something, it would have done him well to get a few takedowns on him, you know?
I don't disagree.
Damn it.
Yeah, I know. People have been hoping for more fights for us. By the way,
yeah,
we're going to be breaking 30,000 downloads this week.
Is that good?
I mean, if
just
I were to
on this episode?
Well, because of this episode, we'll crack 30,000 downloads, but we'll probably get a, you know, however many we last week.
What software are you using to count these downloads?
The software where we host the podcast.
Okay.
So,
that's exciting.
Yeah, I could tell.
I don't know what you could tell me. We got a million or we got 100. I wouldn't know whether.
I think that there's some metrics of we're in like the top. Hey, Nicolette.
we're in the. Be on camera.
Hey, well, I don't blame her. we're in the top 20% of global podcasts.
Oh, right? Shit.
Yeah. But that
sounds good.
It sounds great, but if we really, you know, parse out the numbers, like there's a huge difference between being in the top 20 to being in the top 15, top 10, top 5. I think the mathematicians would call it orders of magnitude.
So I think orders of magnitude is factors of 10, I believe.
I don't know. But, I'm just trying to sound smarter. And we're getting all kinds of fuzziness on the internet. I don't know what it is. It's because you're using your phone. You probably have Boost Mobile or whatever phone service you have. I'm not sure why you're not using your computer.
I never use my computer for Zoom. I always use my phone.
Yeah.
It's a Zoom call.
Yes, I'm using my computer.
Calls are usually done on the phone.
They are. It's not a phone call. This is a Zoom cast. So I think this is going to be a short one, Tim.
That's all right. Well, we're going to be back in the studio next week, right?
That's maybe.
Cool with me.
All right. We'll talk. We'll see if it's cool with me.
Are we going to? No, hold on. you know what sucks about Zoom is there's like a 5-second delay.
Okay.
You know, like well, even that, there was your response was far too delayed. And then like, we're talking over each other.
Hey man, it is what it is. We'll find something better, but unless you have anything else to add.
No, I just want to make sure that we're going to be back in the podcast studio next week.
Well, we'll see. We'll talk about it. All fair.
All right. Peace.